Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode with the Four Elements. This is your boy Earth.
And this is Wind.
Well, yeah, tonight we do not have Water on the line. He's actually had an event tonight. Let's call it an event. He had an event he had to attend tonight, put it like that. Anyway, thank you to everybody for listening in. We appreciate it. So tonight's show, we're going to talk about the power of the mind. So we want to look at it not from, you know, a perspective in which sometimes people look at it from, which is, we have powerful minds as human beings, but we want to go into a little detail and talk about, like, how is that power, how to possibly harness the power of the mind, and how the mind is, and how that power of the mind can show up for you in your everyday walk and in your everyday life, and having been able to use the power of the mind, how you can actually have the world show up for you in a certain way. And, you know, talk about the power of the mind, like, from a spiritual perspective, because I can talk about, which I will talk about, some experiences I've had where, you know, I've actually been able to do some remote viewing, and I've actually sat down and practiced that, you know, just by sitting down thinking about it. We'll get into that later. But anyway, Wynn, what you got to say about this topic?
First of all, I just want to remind the audience that we would certainly love your participation, and by contributing to the conversation, you would hit the number one, and that will indicate to us that you're ready to participate. Another thing, too, before I forget, is that on the 28th, as well as the 5th, we will not be on the air. So, again, please mark your calendars regarding that, June 28th and July 5th, which is the day after which is the holiday weekend. We will not be on the air, but we will be back next week, and we will be on the air in subsequent weeks. The first thing that I would like to, you know, say about the topic, I first actually want to just go through a brief exercise with everybody that's on the air, and I just want everybody that's not driving or that's not doing anything that would harm them to just close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes just for a moment. And what I'd like for you to do is just wiggle your toes and wiggle your fingers and move your body. And the reason why I asked you to do that exercise is because tonight's topic, we're talking about the power of the mind. And you wouldn't have been able to do that if you didn't have a mind, if you didn't have power. One of the things that I want everybody to know is that you actually have extraordinary power that you are actually taking for granted. Extraordinary power. Like, if you think about it, what it takes to voluntarily move your fingers and move your hands and move your any part of your body. I mean, that takes a tremendous amount of power, and it's so easy for us that we often take it for granted. And we can actually exert that same power in every aspect of our life, of our lives. And that's where I want to begin. So I'll let you take it back up, Ruth.
Okay, so you bring up a good point in mentioning like just the ability to move your hands, you know, move your toes, move your arms, move your feet, you know, to walk, talk, and for you all even to be able to get on this show tonight and listen. That, and we may consider this being something that's minor, but it's a demonstration of, you know, the power of the mind. And just in probably one of its most basic form, just to be able to do that, because like we had mentioned, you know, a lot of times we take that for granted. And because it's something that we do every day, so it, you know, kind of becomes normal or, you know, kind of mundane, you know, to be able to do that. And I want to take a look at how the mind can actually begin to shape your existence, how the mind can actually, how your mind can actually begin to shape, you know, your context, how it can begin to shape and formulate how the world itself is presented to you on a daily basis, and how the world is presented to you on a daily basis based upon your perception of the world really dictates how you navigate through life on a daily basis. So if your perception of the world is that it's doom and gloom and, you know, the world is pretty much going to hell in a handbasket, then truth of the matter is that's how your everyday life is going to show up. So a prime example, I'll give you about an experience that I've had. So after the first term of President Obama, I chose at that point to not watch the news and just actually put a moratorium on the news. I had no desire to watch the news because I was just done with news coverage and how just the elections were run and covered by the news media on both sides, not just on one. So I was just done. I had no desire to watch the news. So I intentionally didn't watch news. And as time went on, I was so used to not watching news. I'd become used to not watching the news. I had no desire to watch the news. And what I realized is that at that point, the way the world presented itself to me was totally different. Meaning, I became very clear that because I made that choice, things that were happening in the world that impacted people in my everyday life had no impact on me at all. I mean, absolutely none. It got to the point where, you know, the war itself had no impact on me. And actually my life became easier. Well, it occurred to me as being easier because, you know, I wasn't left with a feeling of disappointment. And I would even argue and say that there was actually a sense of stress that existed because everything on the news was around some bad news. So because I chose to do that, my mind actually began to see the world differently and the world began to present itself totally different to me. So my experience of the world changed all because of that one action that I took. And even today, I don't watch the news, really. I don't watch the news. I can't remember. Actually, I did see the news the other day. I was at a friend's house, and the news came on. But I didn't know that there was, like, the big headline story was what's happening with this woman with the NAACP. And apparently that's been going on for some time, and I had no clue it was going on until I think it was Friday or Saturday, one of those days. I think it was Friday. I had absolutely no clue. So it had no impact on me. So it gave my mind an opportunity to actually see the world different, and it gave me more opportunities to do other things and to create other things, you know, for myself. So I'm going to put a thumbnail right there, and let's jump over to Wynn. And what you got to say, Wynn?
It's interesting that you did that, because I did that for myself. I haven't actually watched TV since October. And what I've noticed is that I have a great calm and peace in my life. I've transitioned from watching TV to just focusing on things that actually serve me powerfully. You know, so I listen to Abraham Hicks. I watch The Secret. I listen to old tapes or watch YouTube of Napoleon Hill or W. Clement Stone, or I'm reading, I'm studying something. I do only things I let only positivity permeate my brain. And so I certainly have experienced a change in the last few months with respect to how I see things and how I feel, and even on the outcome of what I'm creating for myself. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I'm actually, there's a scientist, and I'm actually looking up his, I just thought about him. There's a scientist that stated that the human mind is the easiest machine to program. So really, if you are being programmed daily, who's controlling your mind? And do you, is an illusion, do you think that you're the person controlling your mind, or is really someone else controlling your thoughts, controlling your actions, and actually controlling your entire being itself? And I do not remember the name of the scientist off the top of my head, but when I heard that statement, it just put a lot of things into perspective for me. Because I thought for myself, like, who's actually controlling my mind? You know, am I making my choices, or are my choices being influenced by outside forces, such as like television programming, which, you know, I find it interesting that it's called television programming. What are they actually programming? And I argue that your mind is actually being programmed, you know, to behave in a certain way, or to exist in a very heightened state of fear and anxiety. Or in some instances, you know, having something dictate to you what happy means, or what it means to feel good, or to have that, you know, sensation of pleasure. And it's all being dictated to you, and this is just my personal opinion, all that's being dictated to us, you know, by, you know, watching television and, you know, paying close attention to the media. Even if you, you know, don't watch television and you're on the internet all day, you know, it's the same thing. It's no different than if you are not watching television or being influenced by the media. For me, my brain is being programmed by other things that, you know, that actually serve me, and I feel like I'm more in control of what it is because I'm choosing at that point, and I'm not reacting based upon a certain circumstance.
Yeah, so, scientists they equate the mind or the brain to a sponge, and you know, new science has come out describing the plasticity or the shapeability of an individual's mind with respect to wiring as a function of what it's being fed on a consistent basis. So, for example, if you're watching the news day in, day out, and you're having conversations with friends and family about negativity, and that's actually shaping your mind and your perspective and how you relate to people in the world on a daily basis, and it's having a negative impact on you all around. Whereas if you feed your mind with positivity or something of great substance, then you're able to actually generate a good life and, you know, feel good and feel healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I want to move the conversation forward and start to take a look at, you know, the power of the mind. And a lot of times we don't get an opportunity to tap into the power of our mind unless we are in a state of emergency or, you know, a very heightened state of emergency in many instances. Because we hear these stories about, you know, people who may have a child or someone is trapped under a car or they're trapped under some heavy object, and, you know, a mother will come and lift the car and pull the child from up under the car. You know, that is a moment when there's a heightened state of urgency or a heightened state of emergency where we're able to tap into our mind to accomplish what we would consider as being, you know, miraculous feats. But in my opinion, the reality is that there's nothing miraculous about it. It's just something that we can do on an everyday basis. We're just not equipped to tap into that part of ourselves at will when we want to. And we're more equipped to kind of exist or to kind of have a mundane existence and just kind of navigate through life based upon, you know, what's on the forefront of our minds and not really taking the time to tap into that part of our mind. So in being able to harness the power of our minds, you know, I think that what we must first do is there are a lot of things that we need to shed that we actually, you know, carry around with us every day. And one of those things would be the things that, you know, we feel are dragging us down, the things that we feel are plaguing us on a daily basis. It could be a daily complaint that we have. Those are the things that we can actually start to shed, because really those things probably aren't impacting our lives anyway, but they're just weighing very heavily on our minds. So if we begin to shed those things, then we could take the first step in beginning to harness the power of our mind. And in taking that first step to harness the power of the mind, I promise you that you'll begin to see a huge transition, and the world will actually be presented to you in a totally different format than it's currently presented to you. So it could be anything that's plaguing your mind. It could be, you know, you could have, you know, a family member that's just acting like a crackhead. You know, so not saying that you ignore the family or you write the family member off, but we can choose how that particular family member impacts us. We can choose how our job impacts us. Those are choices that we make. But when we take on the things that we consider as being burdens, when we take those things on, we actually wear them like clothes. And we view them as burdens, and so they weigh heavy on our minds. And it impacts the way that we function. It impacts the way that we think. It actually makes us tired. And that's why I believe a lot of people, you know, have energy problems. You know, they may have issues getting up in the morning, or some people are plagued with insomnia and can't sleep, you know, because they're burdened with whatever they're burdened with in their everyday life. But just by simply changing the way that you allow those things to impact you, because they're not going to go away overnight, but we can actually alter how those things impact us and just look at them. It's like, oh, they're just things that are happening. They don't have to impact me mentally, physically, or spiritually, because I get to choose whether or not it does. Then that will actually start to open the door and allow your mind to actually be able to focus on other things that can have you at some point get to where you are actually exercising the power of your mind. I hope all that made sense. I know I said a lot, and I'm going to turn over to Wynn real quick and see if he has any comments about that. If not, then I'll move on.
Yeah, I would just say that, I think people really take reality or their perception of reality to a heightened extent to which it doesn't necessarily deserve. I think people accentuate, for lack of a better term, or blow out of proportion events or words that people say. It really is just simple. It is what it is. It's really just what somebody is expressing or something that happened. It doesn't necessarily have to adversely impact you. And what I would say is that any adversity or negativity that you perceive is actually an opportunity for you to grow and develop or strengthen and expand yourself as opposed to absorbing it as some great tragedy. Because once you absorb it as some type of great tragedy, you can never win from that perspective. Nothing good can come out of that.
Absolutely. I actually just looked in the queue, and we actually have a caller in the queue. So are you ready to take this call?
Absolutely.
So, okay. So caller with the last four digits, 8431. Caller, last four digits, 8431. State your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
My name is Larry Weaver. I'm calling from Riviera Beach, Florida. And the comment I'd like to make, you all briefly touched on the subject of the mind being a sponge. I had the experience of losing my memory for an entire year because of being in comas and so forth. But my mind, and I think in order to maintain my sanity, built memories around minute facts that it gathered throughout the year. So I think the power of the mind is vastly underestimated in terms of what it can do. And these are not dreams. They're memories, because I know exactly. They have a beginning. They have an end. It's like a story. So the mind has much more power than you could imagine. You know, that's just my comment.
Thank you so much for that, Larry. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and it actually, you know, has me think about just how the mind will operate in a way to preserve itself. And it does that automatically without us thinking about, okay, my mind needs to preserve itself. You know, in a way that, you know, if we're going to lift our arms or take a step, you know, generally that's something that's triggered by a thought. And it, the way that Larry described it, it sounds like the mind is operating in the way that the heart beats. You know, we don't have to think about the heart beating, it beats. You know, we don't have to think about our liver functioning. It functions. It does what it does, you know, without thinking about it, without saying, oh, I want my liver to function and start filtering right now. It just filters without thought. And it just sounds like, you know, from his experience, the mind actually began to operate that way. Would you agree with that, Larry?
I didn't catch the last part you said there.
No, last part I said was that basically the mind, it sounds like based on your experience, the mind actually began to function in the same way that the heart functions or that other organs in the body function, in that they function without us thinking about them. Yeah.
Right. It's involuntary because it was, you know, I was unconscious for almost 2 months, but I have memories of things happening around my being in the hospital. They weren't, like, totally unconnected. It was, I think it was my mind's way of maintaining its sanity because it just functions involuntarily. Your mind has to function. And since I was on propofol, which causes you to lose your memory, my mind decided that I needed memories, and it made them up. Some of it was based upon little minute facts that it built around those, but it just made up memories. So you're right, it's an involuntary type of response.
I would describe it as this, is that, you know, it's the mind works like an electrical circuit, and from time to time the body, there are certain things, certain traumas to the body that creates a disruption of that circuitry. However, the mind is so powerful, the body is so powerful to, over time, heal itself. And I think that what happened was that there was a reconnection of that circuitry, which allowed you to, again, after time, reconnect the dots and flow that energy and that electricity, so that you'll have full memory again. Would that be accurate?
Hello, Larry.
You still there, Larry?
Hello? Hello, are you there?
Yes, we're still here.
Yes.
Sorry. You know, I was saying, I agree with you somewhat. I mean, the mind works on electrical impulses, obviously. And when you're under anesthesia, there are no memories. And, you know, the doctors advised me that I was under so much that I may have months, it could be years before I start to regain memories. But my mind has already begun that, because I could tell people facts about things that happened while I was in a coma. But I have a little piece of memory that my mind built facts around that are not true, because it needed, it's like a sponge, it needed that. To maintain itself.
Wow. So, question for you: How long did it take before you began to gain your memory back? Before you recognized that you were gaining your memory?
Frankly, I haven't recognized that I've begun to gain my memory. What I have is little pieces that I had as soon as I came out of the cloud of the anesthesia, and my mind at that point started to make up these memories. I still don't. Last year is a blur, except for these partial facts, but mostly made up memories. The mind is still filling in the blanks. It may come a time that it has the ability to come up with the truth in terms of my memory, but in the meantime, it's substituting memories. So I haven't, I really don't believe I've started to come up with true memory, because, you know, I don't have a, you know, I went into the hospital on January 31st, 2014. I don't remember January. I don't remember. I went to the hospital for basic procedure, quick in and out. I don't even have a memory of going to the hospital. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
I think long time. I don't remember any of that. I remember coming out of surgery. I don't know. I should say that. I don't remember coming out of surgery. I remember waking up in the hospital and not knowing how I got there. It was about 4 or 5 days later. But I have no memory of why I was there in the first place. So, you know, I can't say that I've begun to regain my memories yet.
Wow, that's truly extraordinary. You're about to say something?
The mind is so powerful because it has maintained me. I mean, I'd be kind of insane to know that I lost a year and had gone through the things that I've gone through. So my mind, you know, is just filling in blanks to hold me over, the way I put it.
Oh, wow, that is truly extraordinary. Wow. I mean, I'm actually sitting here in awe of your experience. And just in awe of, like, your personal experience and just in awe and just how beautifully, like, the human body is designed, and that includes the mind as well, to function in a way that its top priority is our survival and our sanity. And I'm just in awe about all of that right now. Do you have any more comments, Wynn?
Yeah, I would advise, I would recommend that that Larry and other people listening read the story of Dr. Byron. I think her last name is Katie or Kate. Have you guys heard of her?
No, I haven't.
Well, she's a very well-known doctor that actually suffered a stroke and lost a hemisphere of her brain power. And she fully recovered, and she wrote a few books subsequent to her experience and shared it with the world. It's pretty phenomenal. I would certainly highly recommend that you take a look at that.
And what's the author's name again?
Dr. Byron Kate or Katie. I can't remember exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we'll make sure that we post that on our Facebook page for those of you who are interested in purchasing that book and learning more about it. Wow. All right. Well, Larry, we appreciate you calling in, and just stick around because we may come back to you for, you know, some more commentary.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I really appreciate him sharing that because I think that what I really want people to get is it's like being in an AA meeting or any rehab, like admission is the very first step. And the reason why I suggested the exercise at the onset of the conversation is because I really wanted people to get that they actually have extraordinary power with their mind. And like Larry said, it's very much underappreciated and often taken for granted. And we are not utilizing our full potential. We're only utilizing a piece of our capacities to simply to survive in this world. However, the mind is so powerful that you can actually thrive in this world and actually create the reality that you want. And it requires you again to recognize that and be consciously aware of what you're inserting into your mind, your environment, your surroundings, and how you feel. And you have the capacity to to adjust your environment and how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be consciously aware that you have that capacity. I mean, just like you can move your fingers, it's so easy. You move your toes, it's so easy. What else can you do that's so easy that you may not be aware of or may not be conscious of?
Mm-hmm. So when you mentioned, you know, using your mind to create, say a little bit more about that and how, like, what is that, you know, for the listeners who don't know? And, you know, if someone, once you've explained what it is, if someone is interested in that, like, how would they even begin to create things with their mind?
Well, again, it really stems from the admission that you can do anything that you want to. If you have the ability to move your hands, if you have the ability to move your arms, your legs, your feet, your toes, I mean, our world, what you see out in the world is indicative of man's power, mind power. I mean, we've created cars, we've created tanks, we've created spaceships and space stations and airplanes. We've mastered how to control electricity. We've created heating and air ventilation systems. We've created huge buildings. So we're surrounded by proof, living proof, that our minds are capable of greatness. And if you could just grasp on that and direct that to what you would like to do and accomplish, then I promise that you will, you know, it might not happen overnight. I mean, this is not like I Dream of Jeannie where you twinkle your nose and it just happens. But if you are directing your power and doing things in accordance or in alignment with that, coordinating your action with your thoughts, with your belief, powerful belief, positive belief, then you'll actually, down the road, actually manifest the things and the life that you want.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add to what you're saying, just like the simplicity of it. It's just really declaring or even choosing what you want. And it's really just that simple. This is something I figured out, I think I was a teenager. When I figured this out. Like, really saying whatever I wanted to do, you know, I always noticed if I wanted to do something and I was like, oh, you know what, I want to, you know, do X, whatever X is, the opportunity to do that always presented itself. And I didn't think much of it when I was a teenager at all. I just kind of said stuff and, you know, things just kind of happened. Well, they didn't just happen. The opportunity that for whatever I wanted to do presented itself. And that's when I began to really understand how powerful the mind is. And I took that, you know, I've taken that into adulthood, you know, and taken that, you know, throughout my entire life. And, you know, I would just sit back and say, well, I want to do some, for example, consulting work, because for those who don't know, I do consulting. So I would say, well, you know what, I want to do consulting, but I want to do it for this type of company with about this many employees, and, you know, that will allow me to work remotely. And I threw some other things in, and I would just say, like, that's just what I wanted to do. Like, in my alone time with myself, I was just I would say that. And, you know, before you knew it, you know, that particular client showed up. It's like when I wanted to work internationally, I literally said, you know what, I want to work internationally on a project with, you know, some company. I didn't even declare the kind of company. It was just like, I want to work internationally. And no joke, literally the next day, I went on the internet and looked for, I was just looking for contracts. I was in between contracts at the time. And the first thing I saw was a contract in Brazil. The company was based here in Atlanta, and the client was in Brazil. And I just sat there just with my mouth dropped wide open. And when I called the company and applied for the contract, it was like it was already mine because I didn't put much effort into getting the contract. There was barely any type of interview. There was barely any type of conversation. It was just a really quick, I think the interview lasted 10 minutes. And, you know, the company asked, when would I be able to start? And I was thinking to myself, wow, was that it? And that was just, it was really just that simple. And I'm clear that that's a function of the power of my mind and just being able to, I just kind of declare what I want to do and have it show up in that way. And, you know, sometimes we'll declare things that we want to do and they may show up in a way or things may show up in our lives that look unconventional. But I promise if we go with the things that show up in our lives that look unconventional or may kind of look like, nah, this is not going to work out. Because I've tested that theory myself and it actually works. Where I've gone and said, well, you know what, this doesn't look like anything that I remotely would want to do. But once I start going down that path, the thing that I actually declared that I wanted to do was actually on the other side of that. And once I went down that path, it was like, wow, this is sitting right here for me. So things will show up in a different way. They don't always show up in a way that looks attractive or looks appealing to us at all, but those things will definitely show up, and we just have to have the courage, you know, to say, you know what, I'm just going to go down this path. I don't really have much to lose, you know, in reality, but maybe a little bit of time. Let me just see what happens. And that's how, you know, I pretty much, you know, live my life for the most part. What you got over there, Wynn? Win.
Yep, I'm still here. I was just thinking about your story, and what I would say is that, again, it all started off with your childhood because you were unimpacted by a tremendous amount of negativity, and you had the belief and the faith that you could have what you wanted. You could actually be a match to your desires and, you know, and live that reality. That's mm-hmm. where it all starts. You really, the individual has to believe it. And again, the premise of the conversation is that your mind is powerful. You can do anything. And you can prove it by, you know, just looking around and seeing the beauty of life, beauty of what man has created. And so water always talks about self-image. And what self-image is predicated upon what you deserve, what you think you deserve. And what you think you deserve is predicated upon who you think you are, what your capacity is, and how generous the universe or God ought to be to you. And the fact of the matter is that all of us are beings and all of us are fallible. However, we're all the same. So the same thing Donald Trump can do or Warren Buffett can do or Michael Jackson can do or Prince can do, you could do. But you have to mm-hmm. believe that you can and believe that your mind is powerful and that you're not distinct from anybody else and nobody else is distinct from you. And you, then you have...
Right.
And if you're in a place in which that has, that notion has been tampered with, then it's incumbent upon you to release that negativity. If you feel beat up, if you feel traumatized, if you are in a feeling of despair, now is the time to simply let it go. Because you can actually start from scratch from wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, it's like having a bunch of marbles in your hand and you're clenching onto it. To live the life that you really want, you're going to have to let those, that hand of marbles down and just let them fall. Just release it. But you're in control of that. You are in control of releasing whatever you are grasping onto.
Right, and I just want to add to what you were saying, because it, you know, your commentary had me think about something that a term that I hear frequently, and I hear it within, you know, religious circles, and I hear it within, you know, other sort of esoteric type circles where people, or I hear people say, you know, actually we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and I'm sure that, you know, many of you have heard that term before. And, you know, when I hear that, one of the first things I think about is, well, you know, since we are spiritual beings having a human experience, then we should act like we are. And, you know, and what I mean by act like we are is that, you know, we should begin to access and harness, you know, the power that we have with our mind of, you know, our spiritual experience. That's what I mean by that. Because if that's the case, then we actually have access, you know, to that world as well as, you know, the world, the physical world in which, you know, we exist today. And also, so I want to, we're down to about the last 10 minutes or so of the show, and I want to, you know, briefly have a conversation about remote viewing. And for those of you who don't know what remote viewing is remote viewing is the ability to use your mind to see what is happening in a remote location that's not in your line of sight, meaning you can't see it. It could be, you know, on a block away. It could be, you know, on the other side of the world, someplace else in the country, and you can actually, you know, sit there and see what is happening in other places. And, you know, those of you who know me know I'm always experimenting with something. So when I heard the term, you know, I just became intrigued, like, okay, what is this? You know, does it work? How does it work? And, of course, the kind of why does it work, but I never got to the why, but I did get to whether or not it does work and the how it works. And I got with a friend of mine who was interested in remote viewing also, and we started having these remote viewing sessions maybe 2 to 3 times a week at the minimum, and in many instances it was more than that. You know, initially – It was kind of hazy. You know, I would sit there and my friend would sit there and we would say, okay, what do you see? And, you know, things were just kind of really hazy and blurry. And, you know, first it just showed up as kind of like colors. And, you know, I would say, well, you know, you have something green. And then I would say, is it like a green, you know, cloth or some type of material? And I would be accurate, and then my friend would do the same thing to me, and then, you know, like she would be accurate. So then, as time went on, it became more and more attuned, and more and more acute. in that I was able to sit there, and there were times where I could be out driving in the car, talking on the phone, or someplace talking, and I would just start immediately getting these images of, like, what was going on in her location. And I would say, oh, is this, and this happening? You know, do you have on a flower shirt with brown flowers, you know, with pink pants? Yeah, I'm just kind of making that up. And she would say, yeah. And I say, okay, is there a, you know, a black car next to you with the windows down? So she would say, yeah, absolutely. And so the more I did it, the more in tune I became with it. And, you know, it started to actually become just like a regular part of, like, everyday life to be able to do that. But, you know, I made it sound, you know, simple, but it took some practice to get to that point. And then I could feel my mind, like, opening up to a whole nother realm, a whole nother world of existence or of possibility that I wasn't in tune to prior to that. So, you know, looking at that really had me see just how powerful the mind is and how underutilized the mind is. And I haven't done the remote viewing in a minute, and I'm glad we're having this conversation because actually I'm going to start back doing it again and start practicing a lot more. So what do you think about remote viewing? When and have you even heard of it, or have you even experienced it yourself?
I've actually heard of what you're talking about, but it was termed something different. It was when I was introduced to it. It was when I was much younger. When I used to study the Bible and Jesus, they called it. I can't remember the term. It was something like transportation, where Jesus had the capacity to actually be in one place, but actually move in different places. Not just see in different places, but move in different places. I can't remember the term, mm-hmm. but I'll find out and get back to you on that. But certainly, I mean, the mind is a powerful thing. You have none of us have any idea, you know, to what extent we could to utilize it. I mean, who would have thought, you know, about? I mean, we were on horses and had buggies. Who would have thought about cars and airplanes? Like that was. Like, if you were living in the 1600s, that would have been a ridiculous thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, we thought the Earth was flat. At some point, we think many things. And quite frankly, as we evolved, the capacity of human beings is expanded and stretched. I mean, nobody thought that anybody would be able to cut inside a body and take out a person's half a brain and that person still be fully functional,
mm-hmm.
you know, until Ben Carson, you know, successfully did that. And nobody would have thought that a black man would be able to do that, you know. There's so many things that we have the capacity to do that we just are fully unaware about. So I don't discount anything.
Right. And so I remember one of the, and actually this is the thing that began to really pique my interest into remote viewing. I was reading one of Maladoma Somei's book. I think it was, what's the name of that book? I can't remember the name of the book off the top of my head, but I was reading one of his books, one of his three books. And in the book, he mentioned that growing up in Burkina Faso, he remembers his grandfather had a farm, and his grandfather used to tend his crops or watch his crops from his room. And then he went out to, of course, he had to go out and actually harvest by hand, but he used to, like, watch them remotely. And he said as a child he was fascinated by that, how his grandfather was able to do that just by, you know, using the power of his mind to do it. And, of course, he said he was looking at, this bucket of water or something like that. But he talks about that story. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it happened or didn't happen. As a matter of fact, let me back up. I'm going to say that it did happen because I've experienced remote viewing before. So I'm going to say that it did happen and that, you know, the mind is just that powerful to be able to do things that and to see things, rather, that are not within the line of sight, you know, if we choose to dig down and harness that power and harness that ability. As a matter of fact, the government itself, the CIA and other governmental agencies or federal agencies actually use remote viewing all the time. I was watching a documentary about that years ago, like in the 90s, I think, and talking about how the government, the CIA, used to spy on Russia using remote viewing, or using people who had harnessed that ability. And the level of accuracy that was achieved was unimaginable, how accurate they were in doing that. So for me, it's something that's real, you know, primarily based upon my personal experience in dealing with it. So but that's all I have to say about remote viewing at this time. But if any of the callers have any questions or any comments, feel free. We're actually down. Oh, I just looked at the time. We're actually down to the last 2 minutes. So if you do, press 1 on your phone and we will take your call immediately and just make it very brief because we're actually down to the last 2 minutes of the show. But if not, you have any more comments, Wynn?
The only comments that I have is to simply reiterate what I've been stating all day. And I would encourage people to study the mind. I would encourage people to study the law of attraction. I would encourage people to read and just inundate yourself with positivity. If you feel disempowered, disoriented in this life, then I would highly encourage you to impede that feeling and really do a 180 and really inundate yourself with positivity and powerful stuff. I mean, we have so much access to stuff on the internet, as opposed to, you know, going on hip hop, whatever, or Facebook, whatever, or Twitter. You know, do something positive. You know, go on YouTube and look at some of the great videos by Napoleon Hill or Abraham Hicks or Clement Stone, or look up Law of Attraction and how celebrities have used it, how Oprah has used it. There's so much information that's accessible to us that it really is, quite frankly, shameful for us to be at a disempowered state, because we can actually use that information for good, not only for ourselves, but for our community, our friends, our family. Just use it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would like to add on to what you're saying, and then we could close out. You know, you said, you know, definitely use it for good. And I just want to be clear that, you know, the way that the mind works and the way that the mind has access the things that are seen and things that are unseen. Like, it doesn't discriminate. Like, you can actually use your mind for things that are seen or can be considered as good, and things that are considered as being, I guess, evil. But I really don't like the word evil, but that's the only word that comes to mind. So, you know, we see, well, what we can see is that there is no discrimination in both abilities of both realms we have access to. That's what I'm looking for. So we actually have both. We have access to both realms equally. So you can use it for good, or you can use it for something that's not considered good, or something that's evil, or whatever you want to call it, and get the desired result that you want in the same way that you would do it for good. You can do it for evil things also. But I always suggest and advise people to just use their power, use their abilities for good, because, you know, truly what goes out there actually comes back to you. So if you're doing good, then, you know, good things will come back. And I don't mean like good things as in, oh, this is just such a great life, but, you know, just things that we consider favorable, and it just makes your life just that much easier. But anyway, that does it for the show tonight. We just want to thank all of the callers who called in. Well, Larry was the only one who chose to raise his hand. So I want to thank Larry for calling in. But for those of you who don't know, Larry's actually my uncle, and it actually felt weird saying Larry instead of Uncle Larry. But once again, thank you for calling in, and just join us next week for another show. At the same time, 7 p.m., and on Sundays as usual. Okay, have a good night.